education has a lot of jargon, a lot of lingo. There are a lot of education-specific terms, is what I'm saying. Some of them are tools, techniques, ideas from pedagogy. And if you're from outside the education community, well, it might all be Greek to you. I know when I started here at TCEA, I started hearing a lot of terms I had never heard before. And one of them was Flipgrid. I'd honestly never heard of it. And once I started working at TCEA, I was hearing about it all the time. Well, it turns out Flipgrid is a kind of social learning platform where students create video responses, and there's a lot of other ways they can interact. Naturally, teachers have been gravitating to this tool and tools like it. And if you're wondering how to integrate a tool like that, one quick way that a lot of educators have found useful are flip hunts. A flip hunt is kind of what it sounds like, sort of a scavenger hunt in Flipgrid. And as we look to getting started with a new fall semester, one in which a lot of teachers will at least initially be teaching remotely, it might be worthwhile to look at tools and techniques like this. That's why TCEA's own Director of Professional Development, Dr. Bruce Ellis, is joining us this week. He's going to be telling us about deploying flip hunts in online learning and how you can use it to integrate different ideas and techniques you want to use, like differentiation for students at different levels, student voice and student choice, and how tools like this might be relatable to a generation that grew up using connected devices. So that's what we're talking about in this meeting of the EdTech Club, and it all starts right now. Hey everybody, welcome back and thanks for joining us for another meeting of the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA. I'm Andrew Rausch. As I said, this week's guest speaker is my colleague Dr. Bruce Ellis, and he's telling us all about using flip hunts on the Flipgrid platform in remote online learning.
Flipgrid has it's kind of one of those tools where if you're in the know, it seems like everybody's talking about Flipgrids, and if you're not in the know, you don't hear anybody talking about it. So it's kind of like a desert or kind of paradise type thing. But Flipgrid is really just a video response tool. Microsoft purchased it about a year and a half ago, and at that point they made it free for educators, which is a great benefit. Some folks may not have heard of Flipgrid, but they may have heard of Seesaw, which is kind of, if you think of vehicles, it's kind of like Chevy and Ford. They both get you to places. Some have features that the other doesn't have, but it's kind of an equivalent. Seesaw does happen to have a few things that Flipgrid doesn't have, but Flipgrid is free and tons of resources that are out there for it. So we find that a lot of teachers quickly gravitate not just Flipgrid with their students, but also finding new ways of using Flipgrid, kind of supporting their PLC and their how they're connecting with other teachers and building competency kind of above the classroom level.
Like an educational social network.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. So if somebody is really into social networks and being online, Flipgrid is going to be a very natural fit for them, especially with our students who, you know, taking selfies is just kind of what they do, or chatting with their friends via whatever app, you know, that's kind of just how they've learned to communicate and socialize. And so it's really kind of plays on that. And, but it offers a really good, safe structure that's password protected. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. You have that social networking aspect, but you also have the privacy and lockdown, so you don't have to worry about creepy people stumbling in. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people who have done remote or online coursework as a learner or as an educator are used to the model of maybe a reading and a response. Mm-hmm. Writing a response and sending it in or putting it on a message board or something. This is one of the key things I think about Flipgrid is it allows students to make the like video responses to things.
Correct. And it doesn't have to be that the student is the focus of the video. It could be that the video is maybe the student is actually videoing some text that they're reading aloud, or they're performing something. They're demonstrating mastery of something, or they're showing an experiment. So they may not even be in it, but they may be kind of talking out loud so the listener can hear what's going on. So typically the student is the focus, literally, of the video. It doesn't have to be. So if you have kids that are shy and don't really want to be on camera, you know, they can still make it work and still demonstrate mastery in a very engaging way.
So if I'm doing a science lesson about the scientific method and I want students to understand that making an observation is the first step, I could say, look around your home or look around your neighborhood or somewhere you can go to and look for an animal and make three kinds of observations, you know, color or behavior or what have you.
Yeah.
And you could record that thing rather than, say, sitting down in front of a camera and saying, hey, everyone, it's me, Andrew. I want to tell you about some birds I saw.
That's right. And initially when Flipgrid came out, it was that you had to record right then, kind of live in front of your webcam or on your device. But they've added the feature where you can upload videos. So it could be something where you have your phone or tablet and happen to be outside the house in the backyard or down the neighborhood, and you see something very relevant that goes along with content that, like you're talking about, you know, it's a, hey, I can make an observation about this, and they can film it. And then when they get back to wherever they do their work, you know, then they can upload that within the Flipgrid framework and use that. So it works out very nicely. Even though it's an asynchronous tool, it doesn't require that the video is necessarily done at the desk, kind of when you're working on your assignment.
And so when we started looking at remote learning and we put together our series of mini sessions on different remote learning topics, one that you brought was using Flip Hunts in online education. So I guess the next big question then, what's a Flip Hunt?
Yeah, Flip Hunt is a term that came about a year ago. And really what it is it's just a scavenger hunt. It's kind of somebody was thinking, okay, well, how can I do some, you know, I know what type of lessons engage my students. How can I purposefully use Flipgrid to do something similar? And so they coined the term Flip Hunt. So if folks are on Twitter, they can search for the hashtag Flip Hunt. Maybe a more global hashtag would be Flipgrid Fever. They can find some ideas and kind of borrow from each other. But it's really just a scavenger hunt that the teacher puts together. It can be very content focused. You know, we're talking about types of angles in math, and it's every piece or every part of our scavenger hunt is going to be about angles. Or it could be an icebreaker, just kind of the, hey, this is a fun, low stress way of getting to know each other, you know, and kind of sharing a little bit about us. So we kind of build that rapport, that relationship at the beginning of class, so that as we go through the year, even if we're doing remote learning, we still feel like we know the people on the other side of the screen.
Right. Welcome to class. Go through your house and show us three things that show us who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it might be, you know, one of the scavenger hunts could just be, tell us a word that best describes you. And, you know, why did you choose that word? Or, you know, it could be something as simple as, what's your favorite ice cream? What's something you did this summer that you enjoyed? You know, what's something you didn't do this summer that you wish you could have done? You know, so it doesn't always have to be about finding things or doing things. It could just be picking their brain and saying, you know, if if you were constructing a building, why would it be important for you to know about right angles? You know, so they're not really having to find something, but they're having to apply some knowledge that they've learned and then express that either orally or demonstrating something or drawing something. So it can be very, very engaging.
There is a creative aspect. You know, if I'm the kind of student who doesn't want to talk, as it were, if I don't want to get up in front of everyone, even digitally, and say, give an answer, I can still come up with a way to, you know, write, if you were, or convey the answer through a video or a clip or some other creative way to do that. I think that's interesting. And I think it also takes maybe a little pressure off as opposed to in real time having to answer a question.
Yeah. And I think what happens a good bit of time is kind of playing off what you just said is that students have the ability to kind of see what have other people posted. So they have a chance to kind of self-evaluate, is my thinking in line with everybody else's thinking? Am I understanding the assignment? Am I on the right path? Or have I clearly missed something? I'm taking it a different direction, which may be okay, but it may also be kind of as I'm watching other students' videos and I'm a student, it may be kind of like a self-check to say, oh, wait, I need to go back and read the assignment because apparently I misunderstood something. So as opposed to, you know, everybody turning in a paper and by that time it's too late, you know, what you did is what you did. Kind of gives them that flexibility to improve their work before they actually publish their work.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And there's a kind of, you know, co-learning or students teaching each other there because, yeah, like you say, normally if I'm working on assignment in isolation and they all get turned in isolation, I didn't learn anything from my classmates during that process. But we know that some students will finish their assignment earlier than others.
Yeah.
This way, they can their classmates can actually benefit from the fact that they are a little ahead and maybe they did get the assignment a little quicker.
Yeah. And as a teacher, it also helps if I see that there are certain students who, for whatever reason, tend to always post their videos first. They may be students that they're ahead of their classmates in their understanding of the content. So I may need to differentiate and, you know, next assignment, add something to theirs and say, hey, before you post, I would also like you to do X, Y, Z. And so it kind of gives them a little bit more challenge. They still may post first, which is fine, but it kind of gives you the ability to say, okay, am I challenging every student either at the same level, which for some students isn't a challenge, or am I challenging every student at the level that they need to be challenged at?
So I've got this cool tool, Flipgrid. I'm intrigued by the idea of something I understand, like a scavenger hunt, and something I could probably deploy no matter what, you know, subject or grade level I'm teaching.
Yep.
What then are your tips and best practices for doing a flip hunt?
First, it seems like for folks who are new to Flipgrid, there's just a couple of words that once they wrap their head around what that word means within the Flipgrid environment, then it's like, oh, okay, I get it. I now know how to find my way around, so to speak. So within Flipgrid, you create grids. And really what a grid is kind of like a folder. And within that folder, you have different assignments. Now, they don't call them assignments. They'll call them topics. So once you have an understanding of, okay, a grid is like a folder that contains things, assignments and stuff. And if I create a topic, that's an assignment that students are going to respond to. Then it's very easy to start structuring within Flipgrid and developing and creating what is going to be most engaging for the content that they happen to be working on. So Flipgrid has a couple of tools on their website. So if somebody has already logged into Flipgrid, which of course is a free account to create, up at the top, there's what's called Disco Library, top of the, mm-hmm. their Flipgrid dashboard, so to speak. And that Disco Library is going to be a curation of all different types of topics and contents and grade levels that people have submitted, kind of showcasing what they did, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time. So if you're new to Flipgrid, then I would say check out the Disco Library, because that can really get you off and running very quickly. And you can start seeing how different people use it with their students. And you can also do Grid Pals. So if you find that you're the type of teacher who you really want to break down the walls, you want your students to interact with other students, whether that's in the same building or across the world, in Flipgrid, they have Pen Pals, which are called Grid Pals, naturally. And so you can connect with other educators and you can be working on the same assignment. So if you're studying rocks, maybe your rock formation, and it's a science class, you know, your students may be doing videos or pictures of rocks that they have around their neighborhood. And it may be very different than somebody in Ireland and her students are showing rocks that they have. You know, so you can still say, each class can say, wow, these are both igneous rocks, but they look different, you know, or wow, these are very similar, even though we're thousands of miles apart. So they can really broaden not just their understanding of the content, but just outside of their world, you know, that they experience within that 2 to 5 mile radius of where they live.
Right. And especially now thinking about, you know, deploying something like a Flip Hunt during online learning.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, even if you wanted to see what was on the other side of town,
yeah,
it might prove difficult in some places. So that's a pretty fun feature that they've integrated, the ability to sort of have these mini exchange programs.
Yeah. And with the Flipgrid, the way it is, it's not necessarily about, as the teacher, I give an assignment and they give a video response. But students can give video responses to other students. So it could be that the assignment, of course, is that they're going to give me a video response, maybe using one of the academic vocabulary that they're learning. But then somebody, part of their assignment is that they have to go and respond to somebody else's video and add to what they said. So it, for those students who maybe have a very shallow knowledge, that initial sharing, I can do that. But then when they have to go share and build on other students where that may be a little bit more challenging, they can start listening, okay, how are others building on the knowledge? And they can start kind of constructing their knowledge in a way that they go, okay, that makes sense. I now know how to add to what this person said because I'm noticing what's missing or what's complementary to what they're saying. So it really can be done a lot of different ways. And, you know, your Flip Hunt is just a really fun context to put the assignment in.
So that's it. We've run down the clock. Our thanks again to Dr. Bruce Ellis for talking us through all those different ways to use Flip Hunts. If you want to know more and if you want to see the way a Flip Hunt comes together, check out the related readings for this meeting, the show notes, where you'll find a link to Dr. Ellis's mini session all about this topic. And coincidentally, that is your homework for this week. Go watch his video. It's about 20 minutes. You can skip around, find the stuff you want to look at. But it's a really good way to delve into setting something up like this. So I encourage you to check that out for your homework. And if you want extra credit on top of that, of course, keep in touch with TCEA and the EdTech Club, you can shoot us a message at podcast@tcea.org and keep up with all things TCEA, including the latest resources, blog posts, and more by following us on social media. Get on Facebook, Twitter, just look for TCEA. And if you're a proud EdTech Club member, don't forget to share the show with people you know. And rate and review the show. And of course, if you haven't, go ahead and subscribe so you get the latest episode every time it comes out. But that's it. I know everybody is getting ready for a new school year and you've got things to do. So I won't hold you any longer. That's it for this meeting of the EdTech Club. But until next time, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.